Today on episode number 390 of the School of Podcasting's morning announcements, which you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/390. We've got a cool Because of My Podcast story. We're going to talk about some updates at Spreaker and iHeartRadio. This is interesting. And we've got a cool interview with Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl. And if you haven't read him yet, I'm going to go over my 2014 podcast predictions. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, we talk about all things podcasting and only podcasting, I guess I should say, from planning. It's really one of the most important steps. Recording, promoting, producing, all points in between, everything you need to start a podcast. Check it out, schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to get in contact with me, one link to everything. Go to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And I always like to start off the show with a bit of podcast success stories or news. And today we're doing it with my friend Remy from the scifimoviepodcast.com. Take it away, Remy.
Hello, Dave. It's Rem checking in from the Sci-Fi Movie Podcast in Victoria, British Columbia. And here is my Because of My Podcast story. Today is the 26th of December, Boxing Day 2013. And I'm very happy to report that our scrappy little podcast has now surpassed the 2,000 downloads in a single month marker, which is kind of a great thing for us. And because of my podcast, there are many new things in my life. I'm building up a great friendship with my two co-hosts, Ian and Jonathan. I'm getting email and meeting people from all over the world. Because of my podcast, I'm going to New Media Expo in January. Very excited. Because of my podcast, I no longer feel bored or restless at home. Because of my podcast, I have a greater sense of purpose, direction, and a very clear career trajectory. Because of my podcast, I'm meeting podcasters I've been listening to for years. Because of my podcast, I'm building relationships with people I never would have met otherwise. And because of my podcast, I've changed from full-time to part-time so I can invest more time in my podcast. Thanks, Dave, for all of your help, education, and inspiration.
It was so cool in Vegas at the New Media Expo, and you'll probably hear the next couple episodes. I'll be referring back to that. It was a great convention to go to, had a great time, and got to hang out, had dinner with Remy and Ryan K. Parker and a bunch of other people. And it's fun to put a face with the name. Super nice guy. Check him out over at scifimoviepodcast.com. All right, a little news here, a little update. I've played and not played with Spreaker. I went through Spreaker to be on iHeartRadio, and for months I've been saying, yeah, I'm on iHeartRadio, big deal. I don't even know if anybody's listening. Well, that has now changed, and I will give Spreaker credit. This is a company that's trying new things. Sometimes they do things not so good, but the cool thing was, like, they came out with that whole, hey, you can, if you have a podcast that's already out, instead of having to retype everything, you can just suck your RSS feed into their platform. And I went, great. And then I did it and went, wait, you whacked all my ID3 tags. You're re-pointing people to a different RSS feed. No. So nice try, but not quite. Yeah, like one of the head guys from Spreaker commented on the School of Podcasting website, said, hey, Dave, thanks for the insight. We're working on it. And I was like, oh, all right, that's kind of cool. So when I use Spreaker for the Ask the Podcast Coach show, and I actually don't use them for the actual broadcast. Right now I'm using a company called Mixlr, M-I-X-L-R.com, another live platform, because that show is really about me just playing with toys and seeing how they work. So I, the only people that, like when I see stats at Spreaker, they're coming from Spreaker only. I actually host that show on Libsyn. Libsyn.com is the media host for that show. And if you want to use Libsyn, use the coupon code SOPFREE at Libsyn.com and you'll get a free month. And so I went into my Spreaker stats, because that's where some people are consuming it, on their website. And I went into my Libsyn stats where I could see that on this particular episode, now this is a brand new show, so it doesn't get a ton of downloads, but we had 140 from Libsyn. Actually, let me change that. That would be 130 from Libsyn. 43 from Spreaker. 15 people now have heard that show on iHeartRadio. Now, I picked this episode because that's the highest number I've had on iHeartRadio. Usually it's like 3, 5, 7. So I'm like, okay. And then from my Libsyn stats, I can see that 10 of the 140 that came from Libsyn were from Stitcher. And Stitcher is a great app. It's really popular. And it's one I'm actually using right now on my phone. And then a whopping 3 people listened live on that show. Now, for the record, that's probably closer to 18, but this is 3 people that used that were listening live on Spreaker. Again, we're talking about Spreaker here. Now, I put those into a spreadsheet, and I'm actually working on a video that'll show all this stuff. What that amounts to is, number one, 2% of the people that consume my content consumed it live. So this is when people go, I want to start a podcast, I want to do it live. I'm like, really? You're adding a lot of complexity for 2% of your audience. Why not start the podcast, build an audience, and then maybe people will show up? So I know my last episode, I think I had 16 people show up live. That was kind of cool. So, but for this episode, 2%. 5% heard it on Stitcher. And that, again, was through my Libsyn stats. But 5% were on Stitcher. 7% consumed it on iHeartRadio. Now, again, before we get all giddy about that, realize I picked the top iHeartRadio example here. Now, 21% of my audience consumed it via the Spreaker platform. Okay? Via the Spreaker platform. And then 65% basically went through my website, which points at my Libsyn hosting, which of course is then point goes to the iPod, you know, the podcast app and Jelly Belly, whatever that one is, all the different things that people consume on that. So of that 21%, how did those people, how were they getting to Spreaker? Well, 44% were on their website. 26% were using an iPhone. 13% were on Facebook. That's a head scratcher because that must be the Spreaker Facebook page because I don't have Spreaker on my Facebook page. 8% were using an Android device. 6% were on the other platform. And then 2% were on the iPad. So that's that 21%. That's how that one was put into place. But the thing I just wanted to bring this up is now people might hear this and go, oh, wow, I can see I'm actually getting listens on iHeartRadio. Maybe I should do that. And keep in mind, when you do this, you need to have a self-hosted WordPress install on your website with your RSS feed. Because if you use Spreaker as your sole platform, they, as in iHeartRadio, monopolize your RSS feed so no one else can subscribe to it. So you have to have your own website. And then what you would do, if you are using Spreaker as a media host, again, not my favorite choice. You can, when you go into your episodes, you will see a link like where the little player's there, and you'll see a download link. You'll see in the bottom left-hand corner, and again, this is why I made a video about this, where it links to the direct MP3 file. That is what you would want to put into your PowerPress settings. And I realize we're talking gobbledygook here for if you're brand new to this. But the other, if you go in to edit that episode, the link there doesn't end in .mp3. And you would not want to use that, even though it says download. So this is, again, just little weird hurdles and things that I'm like, why not make the download link directly to my MP3? My guess is that has to do with stats. So not my first choice for a media host, but I am pleased to see now that iHeartRadio is providing a way to track stats. So we can see, is it worth going through the hassle? So there you go. That's my update. I'll keep you posted as that goes along. And if you want to check out the Ask the Podcast Coach show, we are every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I realize you West Coast people are like, man, that's way too early for me. But it's on the School of Podcasting, and I also put it on askthepodcastcoach.com. If you like what you hear, then go tell somebody. If you like what you hear, then go tell somebody. If you like what you hear, then go tell somebody. All right, real quick intro, because I kind of intro her again. But one of the cool things about New Media Expo is you get to meet cool people. That's really the big draw. And I have been aware and have watched the career of Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl, for many moons. And when I saw she was on the Today Show, and I saw she was going to be at the Expo, I'm like, we need to get you on a microphone and tell your story, because I'm surprised at how many people were not aware that people, that podcasters have been on Oprah, podcasters have been on the Today Show. There's a lot of stuff with that. So I just wanted to kind of peel back the onion, if that even is, peel back the curtain, I guess, of Mignon Fogarty. You've probably heard of the Quick and Dirty Tips. Have you ever heard of the Get Fit Guy and the Nutrition Diva? I'm trying to think of the other shows I listen over there. A lot of great shows. She started a network. So get comfy. We're going to hang out with Grammar Girl for a bit, and she's going to tell us what she did, what she would do differently, and any insights into podcasting.
I have the privilege of being in a back room here at the New Media Expo with the only, the one, the only, and also a great author, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Mignon Fogarty, better known as Grammar Girl. And first of all, thank you very much. This is after the last keynote. We are both just incredibly... We've been fed with a fire hose for the last 3 days. A little tired, but I deeply appreciate you taking
but
the time.
But I've known of you for the longest time, and I'm excited to be on your show.
Well, this will be cool. So we're going to do a quick This Is Your Life.
Okay.
And because you have an incredible story. So let's go back to your first podcast.
Right. My first podcast was actually called Absolute Science.
Okay.
I have a master's degree in science. I'm a PhD dropout. And I was a science writer and editor, and I heard about this super cool thing called podcasting, and I wanted to give it a try. And I started just by reading some of the magazine articles I had written about science, mm-hmm. and then quickly got a co-host who was a friend of mine who was also a scientist, and we would chat about science news, and then sometimes we would also interview researchers, which was a blast. It was really fun, and I loved doing it. I did it for, at least 6 months. I don't remember exactly how long, and won a few awards, but, you know, it wasn't getting a huge audience, and it was taking about 20 hours a week of my time to produce it, because I'm a perfectionist about my audio.
How long was like an episode?
And it was about 30 minutes.
Okay.
But scheduling researchers and dealing with a co-host, and back then Skype wasn't so great, so I was trying to record from the telephone, and I was just slow. So, and I was researching, keeping up with the science news all the time so we could talk about the newest news. And I was a freelance writer and editor, so when that's your job, time really is money, and I couldn't justify continuing to do it.
Right.
So I was actually looking for something simpler to do.
Okay.
And that's how I came up with the idea for Grammar Girl.
Cool. So the thing I always like to point out there is your first podcast was got your feet wet, learn how to podcast, and there's no shame in going, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore.
Not at all. And, I mean, you know, if you have to be trying new things all the time.
Yep.
And sometimes they don't work, and that's completely fine. I said in my talk earlier, if you're not failing, it means you're not pushing yourself hard enough to try new and interesting things.
Very cool.
So, you know, and I'm not the first person. You know, Callie Lewis, she had a different podcast before she did her big successful one. So I think it's important if I had wanted to continue to do it as a hobby, that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But if for whatever personal reasons you need to do something simpler or something different, or you do need to monetize it, you know, there's no shame in trying something new.
So was the goal always, like, I want to do this and monetize it?
Not really. I mean,
okay.
It kind of went with the science podcast. I was kind of hopeful, you know, because science and tech were the biggest categories back then, and it didn't work out, and that was fine. And so when I started Grammar Girl, because I hadn't succeeded very well with the science podcast. I was just doing it as a hobby at that point because I had come to love podcasting.
Right.
So I just wanted to keep my toes in the pool.
Right. You had the bug.
Yeah, and it was just a hobby. And that's all I thought it would really be. So it was a huge surprise to me when it took off.
How long did it take to take off?
Not long at all. Weeks. It was probably about 4 weeks, and it was in the iTunes top 10. It was like 4 to 6 weeks.
Wow.
And all of podcasting, not a category, but all of podcasting. It got as high as number 2. Yeah, it was amazing.
Now, how long does it take you to do an episode back then of Grammar Girl?
Back then? Gosh, I don't remember. I mean,
I realize we're dusting off comments.
I know. This is almost 7 years ago. So,
wow.
You know, I can say now, if I write an original episode and I record it, it can take anywhere from, you know, 5 to 12 hours, depending on the complexity of the topic that I'm researching. Because all my shows are research. It's about the grammar rules, and there are reference books that have opinions, and sometimes they don't all agree. And I try to give a balanced perspective on, okay, well, Chicago Manual of Style says this, but AP says that, and here's the history of why these two rules differ. And, you know, so it takes time to write a well-researched referenced episode.
It's just, again, this is why I knew this was going to be awesome. Because you said your episode is about a half hour?
Now my episodes are about 10 minutes.
Really? Okay. Yeah. But back then they were a half hour.
Back then, Absolute Science was about a half an hour. Grammar Girl is 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, got it. So, but you said it took you that amount of time, and it was research, and then you brought in your opinion and things like that. So it's an example of you're saving people time, you're educating them, and you've got a great voice, and you've got a great presentation. So equals a great podcast.
Well, the other funny thing is my first few shows for Grammar Girl were just awful. They were terrible. they were really bad. And because I didn't do quite enough research. And, you know, I only had one or two style guides. It got really popular, but people were also angry. So I was getting emails telling me how wrong I was.
And, well, that's good.
My show comes out every Thursday night. And every Friday morning, I would be on the couch crying because
nice.
I got so much angry email. And my husband, Patrick, finally says, you can't keep doing this if you're going to cry every Friday morning. So I had to decide whether I was willing to commit the time to do a better job. And I decided that I was. So I took down some of the first episodes and redid them.
Ah,
so
there you go.
People will sometimes ask, well, where's episode 1 through 8? I don't want to feel like I'm missing anything. I'm like, yeah, no, you're not missing anything. Don't worry about it.
Well, there you go. That's great you say that. The award-winning, we should say.
Yes.
There you go. Has, much like everybody else, I always tell people, you will hate your first. I hate my first episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, because anything you do, you're going to get better at it.
Yeah.
And very, very cool. Awesome. So Grammar Girl takes off. Mm-hmm. Like, tell us what happens as that goes on. Is it just a matter of, you know, you're answering emails, you're getting more input, you're doing interviews, and things are starting to roll up. What surprised you the most,
I guess? It was exciting and overwhelming, and the amount of email that I started getting was the most exciting and overwhelming part, because I was very quickly spending, you know, 5 to 10 hours a week answering individual emails.
In addition to doing your show.
In addition to doing my show. And actually, I had a job. I was still a freelance writer and editor with clients.
Wow.
And so, you know, really fast, I realized, you know, I can't do all of this. And then, of course, because I spent a lot of time in Silicon Valley working at startups, so when it became so successful so fast, I knew that I was onto something, and I felt as if it was the format, the 5-minute scripted quick tips, because back then, most of the shows were long interview shows. Matt's Today in History was one of the few that wasn't. I loved that show.
Mm-hmm.
It was an inspiration for me. So I thought, well, I could do a whole network of quick and dirty tips. And so I signed on some of my friends to do other shows, like Mighty Mommy and Money Girl and Modern Manners Guy and Legal Lad. And so I was also building a network of shows at the same time. And yeah, it was crazy. I was working so hard. And that was one of the reasons I partnered with Macmillan, is I needed to quit my day job.
Right.
And advertising hadn't really coalesced for podcasting. We occasionally had an advertiser, but it wasn't regular. And it actually was my book deal, my book advance for my first Grammar Girl book, that let me quit my day job and focus on podcasting full time and working on my book, which is why they were paying me. But
but
it was the book advance that let me quit the day job, actually.
So that whole process, did you have like a book agent? Did you just do it direct?
I didn't. And that was actually a big mistake. If publishers are coming to you wanting you to write a book for them, you should still get an agent, because there are so many intricate details of the contract that... You know, you're going to...
You find out later that you go, oh, I wish I...
You find out later, oh, that was really bad. So I, after my my first book deal was for 3 books, and then after that I got an agent for my... I did another 4-book deal, and I got an agent for that.
Very, very
and
cool.
She's been great, super helpful.
So you say... So when you first started Quick and Dirty Tips, you just brought in your friends?
Yeah, my friend. You'd be good at a show.
Well, because that could be fun, and it could also get sticky, because they always say, don't go to work with your friends, or don't, you know, work for your friends. How did you handle setting that up? Like, if somebody wants to set up a network, mm-hmm. what are kind of, like, networking 101, like, setting up, because there's going to be money involved now, and...
Yeah, it was actually really tough, and I would say don't work with friends again. I mean, mostly it was really good, but there were some really tense moments and problems and that made me sad with, you know, when you're dealing with friends.
Sure.
So... You know, I wouldn't do it that way again. You know, you'd have to be very businesslike, and you have to have contracts, yep. and you have to make sure. You know, I had contracts, and I was really clear. But you know, my friends, they were like, "Well, I did it because I was your friend, and I thought it'd be fun." And then when I partnered with Macmillan to do the network, it became a real business. And suddenly, everyone's looking at their terms and saying, "Well, that's you know, I was doing it because I thought it'd be fun to do it with you, and now we're like this business with a big publisher, and it's totally different." So, So none of those original people are still with the network, and that was one thing. I mean, even for Grammar Girl, like I didn't imagine that I would do it forever, and that's one of the reasons it's not me. Like I'm not the kind of person who wants to be in the limelight. Mm. And so that's why the avatar is a cartoon. Mm. And it's Grammar Girl. It's not Mignon Fogarty. And so the idea was that, I know a lot of people who are entrepreneurs, and I wanted to build something that would last for decades.
Right.
But I don't want to be Grammar Girl when I'm 70, you know. So I built it.
Today
so
we're going to be talking about semicolons.
Right. So I built it so that we could swap hosts, so that new people could come in and take over, and so that you know turned out to be really good, because podcasting is a grind, right? And some people just found that they didn't want to do it anymore, and so we could bring in a new host for the show and keep that show going that had an established listener base.
That's wow. That's very. I'm trying to think of the words. See, I need a wordsmith here for in terms of
planning ahead.
Yeah, there you go. That'll work. Very cool. Any other secrets of that? Are you looking for more people to join the network at this point, or are you pretty much happy with your stable? Or
well, we're launching the first new show in a couple of years. I'm going to get the name right. Something like The Savvy Psychologist.
Oh, cool.
So that's a cool new show, and we have 15 or 16 shows in the network now. Macmillan does the day-to-day operations. You know, I barely knew we were launching the show. I kind of heard about it, and I mean, they keep me informed, but I'm not involved with that part of it. So I don't think there are plans to add lots of new shows, but if this launch goes well, maybe we'll add others.
Cool. All right. And then are these, you said they're scripted shows, so your hosts are reading this then?
Yeah. So that's a nice thing that I think we provide as a network. So the hosts write their show, and then they send it to the editor at Macmillan, and she edits it. So they're getting professional editing for their show, so great feedback to make it better, and then they read their show and send the audio to an audio producer who does the audio and the feed and everything. So the thing that's been great for the business is those scripts are also articles we can put on the website.
Right.
So the web, you know, is a really big part of our business too now.
Right. See, I always thought it was vice versa. I thought you guys just had the podcast transcribed.
Oh, no. They started their scripts.
Because they do a really good job of making it sound like they're not reading it.
Yeah. And
so
we look
good
for people who can do that.
Right, because that's not always an easy skill. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So when does Oprah come into the picture?
That was so crazy. So
is this before or after Quick and Dirty Tips?
It was after. So I started Grammar Girl in late July. And then in November, the Wall Street Journal picked me as their web pick of the day. And then in January, I signed the partnership with Macmillan. Mm-hmm. And then in March, the Oprah Winfrey Show called me to come on.
Wow.
So less than a year, it was about, you know, 7-8 months after I started.
Did you think it was a crank call?
You know, people ask that, and it's funny because I didn't, because Martha Stewart had approached me first, wow. and it didn't work out. But right. so it was within my sphere of things that might be possible. Hmm. So they just called me at, I don't know how they got my phone number, but they right. called me at home and asked if I could come on, and I said sure.
yeah.
And I didn't have a book out or anything yet, right. so we rushed out an audiobook so this I would have something.
Right, the Oprah Book Club, might as well cha-ching while it's there.
Yeah, and they didn't even mention the book, but they did send people to my website, and we had an ad for the book there, so it did okay. But
sweet.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
What's like the back room of Oprah like?
Oh, it's wild. It was funny because when I was on, Chris Brown was the musical guest. And so okay. his whole entourage was back there, and they have the green room, and there are all these people hanging out. And, that was before he beat up Rihanna.
Right.
so he was still cool. Yeah. And, it was just amazing. and it's chaotic behind the scenes. There's all sorts of things going on. They have a huge staff, and they all appear to work 24 hours a day.
Right.
And
wow.
it's quite a production. And you weren't allowed to take any pictures. You had to leave your phone at the security desk, mm-hmm. and they have really tight security because I guess people try to crash in and they chain themselves to the door because they want to meet Oprah. And
right. Okay. Well, the fun thing is the last time I was like, "Wow, check that out! That's really cool." Mm-hmm. Is you got to go on the Today Show.
I know.
Now, are there any others in there that we should be aware of?
No, there aren't. It was a huge gap. I mean, it's been like 5 years since I was on Oprah, and I don't. I don't expect to get calls from big TV
right.
shows. I'm not like blown away when it happens, but it's not like I expect it to happen
right.
either. And I kind of thought that part of what I do is done. And then again, just completely out of the blue, I got a call. The Today Show wanted to do. They do a weekly little quiz, and they said, "Oh, let's do one about language. And who should we get? Well, Grammar Girl." So they call. They just thought of me, and called and wanted to know if I was available, and I was. So I flew to New York and
wow.
did the Today Show, and that was. When I did Oprah, I had only been doing Grammar Girl for less than a year, and I didn't really know what I was doing, and
right.
I didn't have any media experience, and I was freaking terrified. I mm-hmm. actually woke up screaming the night before from nightmare. I mean, I had a complete panic
wow.
attack. I sat up in bed, and I was screaming, and my husband's like, "Oh, my God, it's going to be okay, It's just a TV show.
Right.
Don't panic." So now I kind of knew more what to expect, and I was calmer. I was able to have a lot more fun with it,
mm-hmm.
and Hoda was super nice. I didn't get to meet Kathy Lee, but Hoda really put me at ease, and
that's cool.
We just chatted, and it was a lot of fun, a lot more relaxed than Oprah.
You've been interviewed a ton.
Mm-hmm.
What do you wish the interviewer would do that they're not?
Oh, gosh.
Because I'm sure you've had great interviews, and you've had some that you probably were like, yeah, okay, that was...
Yeah, I guess the ones I don't enjoy are the ones where we just talk about grammar questions, and, people tell me their pet peeves, and
mm-hmm.
and then that's the end. I mean, I sometimes I'm a person
yeah.
with interests and a life and experiences besides, answering grammar questions. And
right.
so I like it when I have, more than 5 minutes and I'm not just answering grammar questions.
Right.
So, I've explained how to use affect and effect probably 1,000 times. I don't mind. I understand that people want to know that, but,
right.
It's fun to talk about other things, too.
How do you balance this huge amount of work and family life?
It's really hard. And because I work from home and I'm with social media, I'm on Twitter and Facebook.
Right.
Pretty much constantly from when I get up in the morning to when I go to bed at night. And that's probably the hardest part is finding we're together because he's at home too. And
mm-hmm.
we're together all the time, but we're not really focusing on each other most
right.
of that time.
The
and
real
so
quality time.
It's not quality time. And
right.
so that's something I hope to do more of. If I can back out of the day-to-day operations, and I don't want to give the impression that I do a lot of the day-to-day operations.
Right,
but
it's something you're involved with.
I do want more time for family, and I have, I really want to write a novel, and I've been saying this for a year and a half, and I've been working on it and not getting anywhere, and I've failed, but I'm going to keep trying.
Well, there you go.
So I want to, like I said, if you're not failing, you're not challenging yourself, and so I want to find more time for that in the next year.
And the only time you really lose is when you quit.
Right, yes. So I'm going to keep trying, and I need to carve out some time for that.
How many episodes... Any idea of Grammar Girl you've done?
Yeah.
At this point, over 7 years? It's like,
I'm approaching 400,
okay.
but some of those are reruns, and I rarely do a straight rerun,
mm-hmm.
but I often rewrite older shows. If I see there are a lot of listener questions, I'll add on to them, and depending on how extensively I do the rewrite, I'll renumber it or not. So I am actually not sure because some of those are reruns,
right?
But I don't know how many.
So how do you, like, episode number 410 or whatever, yeah. How do you decide, what are we, is it just from listener feedback and somebody goes, I'm trying to do this participle thing? And
yeah, a lot of it is that. I mean, there's so many now. Like, a good example is, you know, it's been 4 or 5 years since I covered the apostrophe. Mm-hmm. And it's not on the feed anymore because we only keep the last 100 or
there
so shows. And so Victoria's Secret had an ad campaign that misused an apostrophe.
Cool.
And so I was able to use that as a new entry into an old topic. So if there's a news hook, I'll grab it for sure because that keeps it fresh and interesting. And then I work with a lot of guest writers now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of linguists, either, you know, linguistics students, mm-hmm. or people have PhDs in linguistics, because I get a lot of complicated questions that I'm really not qualified to answer.
Okay.
And they're really interesting. So, you know, American Dialect Society just chose because, mm-hmm. as the word of the year. Because if you'll notice on the internet, people will say, I'm going to go to the buffet because desserts.
Right.
You know, because fun times, and using because as a segue, mm-hmm. that way is a new use of it.
Hmm.
And so it was, and one of my linguist writers had did an article about that for me 2 or 3 or 4 months ago now, and it was cool because then they just last week they chose it as the word of the year for that reason.
Beautiful.
So, you know, I try to write about trends when they happen.
Sure.
Get people to write about trends for me when they happen, actually.
Well, that's a great point because, you know, when things are, you know, again, so many things on your plate, when you can outsource, mm-hmm. and still then have it, do you then look at that and make sure it's in your voice and mm-hmm. so it's still your, it's still grammar goal. You
right,
know?
So I do the audio and I, mm-hmm. you know, and I make sure it's appropriate for the audience.
Right.
And, but yeah, really bringing in guest writers has been a fantastic thing. You know,
awesome.
They bring whole perspectives I wouldn't have thought of.
Very cool. What's plans for 2014?
Well, I'm super excited about a card game that I'm creating.
Really?
Yeah, so it's called Peeve Wars. And the goal, it's a card game, and the goal is to annoy your opponent to death. So you build a peeve army with your cards, and then you attack. And I've just wanted to do this for years, and there really wasn't a way to do it. And now mm-hmm. with crowdfunding, mm-hmm. you know, with Kickstarter, it's possible, you know, to raise enough money to print those cards. And I'm working with Len Peralta. Mm-hmm. A lot of podcasters know him for his art. He's doing the art for the cards. And then I have another friend, Joe Kisenweather, who is a game designer. So he's doing the game design, Len's doing the art, and, you know, we're using my brand and mm-hmm. my network to do the Kickstarter. And, you know, I'll collect the money and pay the printer and, you know,
right.
do all the fulfillment and stuff like that. So I'm hoping to launch the crowdfunding project in January or February. It's almost ready to go.
Do you have anything with, like, apps going on?
Yeah, all last year I made an app.
I gotta say, I thought I'd heard that.
Yeah, so probably not my smartest decision ever, but I decided I wanted to make an app, so I learned to code.
Oh,
and I made it myself.
Not?
Yeah, and that I thought, this will be easy. How hard could it be, right?
Right.
And I thought it would take maybe 3 months, and it took, like, a year and 3 months. But it's called Grammar Pop, and it's for the iPhone, iPad, and Mac. And you match words with their part of speech and to pop clouds. And it's really fun. It's a word game that I wanted to play that didn't exist.
There you go.
And so I had to make it. And then it, you know, so a lot of my listeners like it, but it's become especially popular with schools. So we're getting a lot of educational purchases.
Cool.
So that was awesome to launch that last year. And then I'm doing the card game.
Sounds like fun.
Those are big things on my plate.
Any advice for new podcasters? Somebody thinking of starting a podcast?
Yeah, you know, don't buy really expensive equipment before you start. I see so many people who, you know, will buy a $200 mic and a mixer and everything before they've even done their first podcast. And I would say, you know, just take whatever, you know, maybe you have a headset mic for your phone or something, mm-hmm. and use that and just start, because your first shows are going to be bad anyway.
Right.
And you want to make sure you like it and enjoy it. So I would say just start. You know, don't focus so much on the equipment. Focus on your content and your format. and, you know, get some shows out there. And then if you like it and you find you're good at it and you want to keep doing it, then you can upgrade your equipment.
There you go.
Yeah.
And this is the pop quiz, because, of course, now that we've gone from being tired to now a pop quiz, who doesn't want this? And if you want to cheat, we might edit this out,
okay?
Because this is really unfair.
Oh, dear.
Do you remember, or can you name, not your favorite five, mm-hmm. unless you want to lie,
yeah.
The last five podcasts that you listened to? Do you listen to a lot of podcasts?
Oh, I do, yeah, probably, because I listened to some last night, because I couldn't sleep. I was so wound up last night.
We call this the last five and five. So, basically, what was, you know, the last five you listened to? If you can tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you know where to find it, like the address, fine.
Sure.
If not, I'll find it later.
Yes, I listened to Planet Money because I think they're excellent storytellers. Mm-hmm. Their show is actually a great, I think it's actually a storytelling show. So, and they, actually their show last night was about, it was an end of the year, so where are they now? They followed up on old stories.
Mm.
Then I listened to On the Media, which, you know, is about the media, and again, it was like an annual summary show, so it was like the worst.
Well, it's the end of the year, everybody's got.
So it was like the worst mistakes in media last year, and for some reason, I listened at night, and so I sort of fell asleep in the middle, and then I woke up, and they were doing an interview with Cyndi Lauper,
okay.
Which was cool. I missed the segue.
Because girls still want to have fun.
They do, and then I listened to Revolutions, which is a new podcast by the guy who put out 12 Byzantine Rulers, which was big a few years ago.
Okay.
And it's about, you know, the Charles in Britain and how he was at war with Scotland and Ireland. It's like a history podcast.
Okay.
And let's see, what else? So that's three. I am pretty sure I listened to Brian Dunning's Skeptoid podcast, and that was a listener question show. And five, what was the fifth one? You know, I listened to it last night. Probably Writing Excuses. That's a great show for fiction writers. It's like tips for writing fiction. And I said, I want to write a novel.
There you go.
So, you know, I may be one of those people who just reads books about it and listens to podcasts about it and never actually does it. But
I don't know. You seem kind of like a go-getter. I think you'll get that one done.
So I listened to a writing tips podcast.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your... Have fun. Did you have a good show?
Oh, it was so much fun. I mean, it's great to see old friends, and then I met a bunch of interesting new people, and
cool. It's
always a great show.
Awesome. And where can we find all your stuff?
I'm at quickanddirtytips.com, and then I'm very active on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Grammar Girl there. And you can always Google Grammar Girl, and you'll find me very easily.
There you go. It's a great brand.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Mignon, thank you so much. Such a cool person. And I'm telling you, this was literally after the last keynote. We were just like, by that time, we'd been fed with a fire hose and just the coolest person, just willing to share and super nice. Glad I know her now. But you'll notice, what do we take away from that? Number one, here again, good content does not come easy. She puts a lot of work into that. And you can see where, you know, she started off with her knowledge. So you have to have a fairly deep pool of knowledge that you can pull from. And eventually, once you build your audience will feed you things to talk about. And then in her case, she was lucky that if you can be the first in your genre, boy, that's a cool one. I was talking to Brock, who is an actual, like, real-life podcast. He's a cowboy. I want to be a cowboy. You remember that song? And you could be my cowgirl. And I said, I don't know if there are any podcast cowboys. I said, so jump in the water, buddy. If you can be the first, it's really, really cool. Now, you got to have the talent. You have to have the talent to hold it up. And probably the big thing I liked that she pointed out, I wanted to start at the very beginning with her. Her first podcast, she quit. And went, you know what? This is taking a lot of work, not getting a lot out of it. And so she just took another passion of hers, which is English, basically, and started that podcast. And look where it's landed her. She's got her own app. She's starting a game. She's got a network, book deals. And I can't wait to read the novel when she finishes that, because after just meeting her briefly, this is a go-getter kind of person, And I'm sure she'll get that novel written. So there you go. Great stuff from her. Thank you so much. All right. It is a new year, 2014. Kind of scary that January's half over. Do want to give myself a quick shout out. If you're trying to lose weight and you've already quit on your New Year's resolution, go over to logicallosers.com. This is a weight loss accountability club that I set up. You have access to our private Facebook club. You've got tools to manage your goals. You're going to get support from me. You're going to get additional information on how to manage your weight, how to motivate yourself, tutorials on how to track your calories. Check it out, logicallosers.com. That's a new venture that I just started this year. And I'll be keeping you updated on that because that's kind of a podcast experiment, shall we say. But I wanted to share, this is me with my tongue firmly in my cheek, my 2014 podcast predictions. And these are kind of off the top of my head. Some of these have already, they were about, this was done in 2013. So I said, Stitcher will continue to innovate and push their platform into more areas. Well, that's true. I was at the New Media Expo and they've got more cars that are going to have the Stitcher app built into it. If you're not on Stitcher, go over there, click on, I think it's partners in the bottom right hand corner, and it'll just ask you for your RSS feed. You put that in there and you're good to go. It takes all of about, I don't know, 2 minutes, if that. Spreaker will fix their import system not to whack your ID3 tags. What's really cool about Spreaker is the head honcho dude left a comment on the blog and said, hey, thanks for the insights. We're working into that. Audio editing services and what I call podcast handholding companies will pop up like Walgreens and CVS here in the U.S. I think you're going to see that come up a lot because a lot of people want to create content. Not everybody wants to edit audio. And that's something that I do. And I also have resources for people who, if you want to get out of the audio editing portion of your podcast, contact me again, schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And I'll get you in touch with some people who can take care of that for you. And hey, I couldn't leave this one off. Blog Talk Radio will continue to put out horrible audio quality, right? And what was interesting about the New Media Expo when we were doing our talk, as soon as I said Blog Talk Radio, the whole audience went, oh, here we go. I am the I Hate Blog Talk Radio guy. That's what I'm known for, apparently. This one, as some of these are kind of jokes, this one is not. Cliff Ravenscraft is a friend of mine. You know, I never get to talk to Cliff at these things. I shook his hand and said hi, but he's always going 8 million directions. But I said, he's going to continue to spread his wings wider. It will appear as though Cliff is leaving podcasting. But if you've ever heard Cliff, he has a very inspirational story. And I can see Cliff moving more into kind of a life coaching role because his passion is inspiring people. And I can see him moving into a niche or niche that's a little broader than podcasting. I don't think he's going to leave podcasting. Obviously, that's one of his key, that's his bread and butter. But I can see Cliff moving into other areas. And that's not a joke. He's a cool dude. Leah Laporte will continue to try and change the name of podcasting. I say he's going to go for twitcasting. Right now, he's trying to convince people it's called netcasting. At which point, I just say, look, can we just quit confusing people? It's called podcasting. Deal with it, Leo. Number seven, three new podcasts about podcasting are going to start this year. And I say two will make it past episode 10, but they will stop before they hit episode 20. One will never make it past episode 5. All will talk about the Audio-Technica 2100 and other podcast equipment. And they're also going to talk about how FeedBurner is bad, which I kind of laugh. I was listening to my friend Brian over at Podcast Dojo, and he just did an episode about how FeedBurner is bad. And Brian's a cool dude. Prediction number 8, Apple continue to embrace podcasting and provide improved tools. Yes, I believe that. I think you're going to see Apple step it up a bit. They came out with a podcast app last year. I think they've got some things in the cauldron cooking in the oven, whatever you cook in, the pot, the kettle, whatever, the microwave. Number 9, I'm going to say at least 217 podcasters inspired by the one and only John Lee Dumas, his podcast, Entrepreneur on Fire. They're going to start things like Hot Entrepreneurs, Small Blazing Business People. How about Dancing with the Entrepreneurs, Janitors on Fire, Zookeepers Ignite, moderately warm librarians, or the burning clergy hour, and of course, successful smoldering stories. And all will attempt to podcast 7 days a week, which is what John does, and all are going to quit within the first month when they are not making $94,000 a month like John is. So I did meet more people at the New Media Expo, and I'm like, yeah, tell me what your podcast is going to be about. And the first thing out of their mouth was, I want to be like John Lee Dumas. Well, who doesn't? Number one, that dude's in phenomenal shape. How do you sit on your butt and talk all day and stay in shape? That's because he starts his day at the gym. But, and man, is that dude. He's just, he's a ball of energy. So, number 10, inspired by Cliff Ravenscraft, 126 podcasters will create Waiting Tables Answer Man, Podcast Answer Woman, Obesity Answer Man, Kardashian Answer Man, Cooking Answer Man, Fitness Answer Man, Jesus Answer Man, Episodic Radio on the Internet Answer Man, as well as Shrimp Boat Answer Man. All will start their shows in a low tone of voice and raise it up as they start to introduce their show. It's hard to do in text. This one I predicted. This is one I got wrong. I said Daniel J. Lewis of the Audacity to Podcast.com will sweep the podcast awards and on his last acceptance speech will scream out, Lewis out, peace, and then throw the mic to the floor and storm off the platform. I so wanted to see that. And nobody I knew won a podcast award. What a bummer. The 10th annual podcast awards will be announced, and that'll be next year. So next year they're going to announce the nominees. And as soon as the nominees will be announced, people will scream, fixed! And Todd Cochran will nudge them to start their own awards, but they won't. That's kind of an annual thing. People just scream, ah, it's crap! And it's funny how usually it's the people that didn't get nominated. 13, Facebook will continue to annoy people with their constant changes, and the people who adopted it first many moons ago will finally start moving to a new platform. Google Plus, anyone? It will be the beginning of the end. You're hearing it here. Young kids won't want to use the social media that their parents used when they were young. Now, if you don't believe me on this, because I realize I sound like a loon, that I'm saying eventually Facebook is going to die, go to marketingmusician.com/why. And I explain about there have been tons of platforms that are too big to fail. That's why I always tell people you want your website to be your hub. Number 14, more large named companies will slowly start to trickle into the podcast sponsorship world. More networks are going to try to get you on their platform for, of course, the added exposure while they sell advertising against it. And of course, giving you none of that. Have you had of those yet? People go, yeah, we want to put you on our network. Great. What do I get for that? Oh, more exposure. Oh, okay. I can't buy groceries with more exposure, but I appreciate it. Number 15, more tools with the sole intent of helping people record podcasts will emerge. And I say basically Boss Jock Studio will not be impressed and reign supreme. If you're looking for something to podcast on your iPad or on your phone, Boss Jock Studio is a great app. If you want to do the live thing again. Number 16, more podcasters are going to work in mainstream media because of their podcast. Most of the shows won't do well because they have to adapt to fit the mainstream media. They call them standards. I don't know about that, but I can see people doing that way. We've had Mark Maron and a couple of people go on MTV and a couple other websites. 16, I think Google will kill more services that don't make the money. We will all worry about feed burner, but I just feel they won't close it maybe in 2015. I don't think they're going to close it this year. I don't know why. That's just a hunch. Number 17, there will be between 1 in 5, what I'm going to call podcast consultants. If you could do air quotes for me for that, ready? Podcast consultants with a radio background will hit the scene without creating their own podcast. That's my favorite. That's why I like Eric K. Johnson, the podcast talent coach. He's a guy that is successful in radio, but realizes that podcasting is a completely different area. And that's why he focuses on content. But I have seen a few people come out of radio and they're like, look, I know how to talk into a microphone. I'm the king of podcasting. And I'm like, no, don't think so. A handful of podcasters will get a job on actual terrestrial radio only to be fired 6 months later when the station manager changes formats. Welcome to radio. I'm going to do another What Was Your Favorite Podcast this year? That was the last episode of last year where I said, what was your absolute favorite podcast? And I'm going to say, I'm going to predict that about 92% of you will wait to the very last day to send it in. And one person will address me as, "Hey, Ray." And yes, that actually happened. I thought that was funny. I will finish the book, Planning Your Podcast, that I started writing last year, just as the last person who needs to read it actually starts their own podcast. Number 21, Richard Simmons will start a podcast, and the U.S. military will use it against Al-Qaeda detainees to get them to talk. So there you go. Those are my 2014 podcast predictions. If you're ready to start a podcast, you've heard some because of my podcast stories. You've heard where technology is constantly evolving today and new tools are being used. You heard where I think things are going to go with podcasting. Some of them true. Some of them are, kind of funny. And if you're ready to start a podcast, the School of Podcasting is going to save you time. It's going to save you buying the wrong equipment because, you might not have a huge budget for equipment anyway. I'm going to save you a huge amount of time with that. I'm going to help you shape your content and explain to you how to present it so that you move people, that you connect with people, and you get your message across in the best, most powerful way. So go out to schoolofpodcasting.com, click on the Join Now button. Now, if you want a little more live interaction, in a week, January 18th of 2014, as I record this, I'm starting my next podcasting in 6 weeks. And this is where we take that same content that's in the School of Podcasting, we go over it every week for 2 hours on Saturday from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time. And then when we get to week 3, you actually get access to the School of Podcasting. You also get access to my book, More Podcast Money, in week 5 when we talk about monetization. So we talk about how to plan it, how to record it, how to produce it, how to get into iTunes, how to monetize it, how to promote it, everything. And if you're interested in that, go over to howtopodcast.com and sign up. I will say this, it's got plenty of seats empty. I did not promote this enough before I went to the New Media Expo, and I'm getting back now, and we've got like a week. So it's going to be really close to, it's not going to be one-on-one training, but it's going to be mighty close. So if you've been thinking about doing this, now is the class to sign up because it's going to be real personal. So check that out. And as always, if you want one-on-one attention, you can hire me as your personal podcast coach and consultant. We can set up a time and go over whatever it is you need to do. Maybe you just need that one little piece of the puzzle. Well, you can do that with me one-on-one. So thank you so much for tuning in. We have great, great things coming up from the New Media Expo. I've got a George Robb interview. I just interviewed Chris Christensen of The Amateur Traveler. Great insights to his successful podcast. There's a guy that's been doing it since 2005 as well. And we've got that coming up, as well as your questions. So keep those coming in, and we'll see you again real soon with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. I want to remind you that it is time to start living a life worth podcasting about. I will see you on the inside. Stay cool, and God bless. Take care.